I'm going to talk about things for Christians to flee. And before services, Josh came over and asked me if I had a song that might go well with my lesson. And the first thing that came to my head was farther along, and really probably because the first three or four words, tempted and tried. Because we're often tempted and tried. Every day I would say that we're tempted and tried. And the things that we're going to look at this morning are going to be things that we're tempted and tried on. I'm probably more tempted than tried, I guess so to say. And we're going to start out, we're going to talk about, I guess the whole lesson really is going to be based upon Apostle Paul and Timothy and the bond that they shared and how Paul really considered Timothy to be his own son. We're going to discuss some of the things that Paul told Timothy. Now we can see here in 1 Timothy verse 1 through 18 how he considers him his son. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou be them mightest war a good warfare. So Paul and Timothy spent a great deal of time together. Paul did what he could to prepare Timothy to go out and preach the word and flee away from sinful things. Paul had great confidence in Timothy and sent him several times to new congregations to remind them, encourage them to worship God according to his word. See this in 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Perhaps the greatest example we have that shows how much Paul loved and respected Timothy is found in Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. As you can see, again, Paul really, really thought a lot of Timothy. But at the same time, he realized that Timothy was young, and he was always concerned that Timothy might stray away from the faith. And that's why we find Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging him to keep the faith, to stay from those things that are evil. So we're going to examine several things that Christians should flee based on what Paul tells Timothy to flee, starting in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Verse 9 through 11. But they that will be rich fall into temptation in the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Well, some of the things that we're going to look at, we have a little man running across the screen here in a minute. He's trying to flee from these things, just as we should. So we're going to look at temptation, love of money, all kinds of evil, greediness, and foolish lusts. So we'll start with flee from temptation. The word temptation means a trial or test, and this trial or test can either be good or evil. Temptations can lead you to sin, while some temptations can be used to test you and cause you to grow as Christians. James gives us an example of both. We'll first look at James chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we can see here that this is a temptation. It's used in a good sense because it produces patience. Now James 1, 13 through 14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Well, this is the kind of temptation that produces evil, and this is the kind of temptation that Paul is instructing Timothy and every Christian to flee from. The only way to beat temptation is to run away from it. Some people seem to think that they can be around a temptation day after day without ever being tempted to indulge in it. And you know as well as I do that they're playing a very dangerous game. Paul rightly said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And we can learn a great lesson from Joseph in the Old Testament because he knew when to run away from temptation. Genesis 39:11-12. "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." See, Potiphar's wife had set things up so that she could be alone with Joseph, so that she might fulfill her own desires. But as soon as Joseph knew her temptations, he didn't stay around to talk about it. He ran and he left his garments behind. You know, sometimes running away from our temptations can be very difficult for us to do, but it's always the wise thing to do. I can tell you the devil doesn't like when we flee from our temptations because that makes his job harder. James 4:7-8. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." You know, as Christians, we have power over the devil and his ways, and we can resist him by fleeing temptations. By resisting him, he must flee. Jesus did this very thing to the devil when he was in the wilderness. The devil came along and he tempted Jesus 3 different times, and each time Jesus resisted by quoting scriptures that showed it would be wrong for Jesus to partake in such temptation. And finally, Jesus drove him away, saying, Matthew 4:10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. You know, it's a very dangerous thing to keep the devil around and start thinking that his temptations are easy for us to overcome. You know, we must understand that the devil is sneaky. And he knows that if he can feed you or feed us a temptation a little at a time, he'll eventually lure us in and trap us. It would be easy for a lot of us to resist a temptation if it was just presented all at once. But harder to recognize a temptation when it's given to us little by little. You know, I was doing some research online and I found a quote that one man said about temptation. "Temptation is a sleepless, unwearing enemy watching and waiting to find us off guard." Well, how true is that? Temptation doesn't sleep, doesn't grow weary. It watches and it waits for any opportunity that it has to catch us, whether it be watching TV, whatever it is that tempts you. Most time you don't go somewhere to be tempted. You're out doing your own thing and boom, something happens and you're tempted. He waits for that right time to catch us. Now we should be able to understand why Paul wanted Timothy to flee from temptation. We can all flee temptation, and we must realize that we don't have to do it on our own because God is with us. He's there to help us. 2 Peter 2:9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver thy godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Next, we'll look at flee the love of money. Love of money was not just a problem in the first century. It's been a problem with mankind throughout all the generations. And some have misunderstood what Paul teaches about money, because some people think that Paul is actually saying that money is evil and we should flee from it. But that's not the case. What Timothy and we today are to flee is the love of money. Money itself can be a very useful tool for serving God and taking care of our family. There is no evil in money itself. Notice Paul's instructions to the rich in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that ye be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There are many good things that can be done with money. However, the love of money is an evil master that drives us into greed, dishonesty, and all kinds of evil. What was the first recorded problem that faced the church shortly after it was established? It was the love of money. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira bought a piece of land and brought part of the money to Peter, yet they claimed they were giving it all. We read this in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 through 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, because of their love of money, which motivated them to lie, they paid with their life. Paul didn't want Timothy to get caught up in such a trap. He didn't want him to have love for something that is only temporary. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives us a parable about sowing seed in four different types of soils. These soils represent different types of hearts that the word of God falls on. Notice what Jesus says about the thorny soil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, the love of money is temporary, and love of money can choke out God's word, making you unfruitful. Surely we can see why Christians should flee from the love of money. Next, look at flee all kinds of evil. Paul not only gives specific things for Timothy and all Christians to flee, but he also tells us to flee all kinds of evil. This means we're to flee from anything that is immoral or harmful according to God's word. We're going to reap what we sow. And Paul goes on to tell us this in Romans chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. There are serious consequences when we allow ourselves to get involved with evil things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And we're to flee from greediness. Greediness is defined as excessively eager to acquire or possess something beyond what one needs. Being greedy is where the love of money comes from. You notice how Paul describes some Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So a greedy person is one who's selfish, and they only think about themselves and how they can lay their hands on things they really don't need. The Word of God teaches a completely different message than this, because it tells us to put others before ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." When I think of greediness, you could think of taking a candy bar, or three different sized candy bars, and putting them in front of three young kids, and which one are they going to want? They're going to want the biggest one. And then whoever doesn't get the biggest ones, more likely they're going to cry and they're going to whine about it, because they didn't get the biggest one. They want what they're going to get the most of. We must be careful as Christians not to be greedy, or the devil will trap and keep us from God. We need to remember what Jesus says about money in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So as you can see, as Christians, we must flee from greediness. Well, next is flee foolish lust. The word lust is often associated with unlawful sexual desires. When a person tries to fulfill the desires in an improper way, then it becomes sinful, foolish, and destructive. The world doesn't exercise any restraint when it comes to lustful practices. You can easily see that just from watching your TV. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to find a program nowadays that doesn't promote unlawful lust in one way or another. And because of its destructive nature, Paul wants Timothy and all Christians to flee foolish lust. Paul gave some good advice to the Romans on this topic in Romans 13:13 through 14. "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know, as Christians, we shouldn't allow the lust of the flesh to be part of our lives. When the Apostle John commands the Christians not to love the world or the things in it, he tells them three things to avoid. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You notice two of the things that he says to avoid have to do with lust. There's no way that a Christian can follow after foolish lust and still serve God. Paul also uses the term lasciviousness to describe lust. Those who do not flee foolish lust will find that they will become a friend to the world, but an enemy to God. James chapter 4, verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Again, Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, there's really no age limit to whom can fall prey to lust, but it does seem to be more of a problem for the younger than the older. A person needs to nip this problem early on, or it could grow into something really bad later on in life. It's like a fire. It starts out as a flame that's controllable, But the longer you let it burn, the bigger it becomes and the fire grows out of control. That is why it's imperative that we run away from such temptations. Now, I think we can clearly see that the things Paul wants Timothy to flee from are things every Christian should flee from. The world tells us that we can be involved in these sins and still be a Christian, but the Bible tells differently. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You'll think about life. Think about your life and ask, am I fleeing from temptation? Am I fleeing from the love of money? Am I fleeing from all kinds of evil that can snare me? Am I fleeing from greediness? Am I fleeing from foolish lust? If you find that these things are hindering you from serving God, then start running from them today. Or if these things have kept you from becoming a child of God, why not put them behind you by repenting, confessing Jesus, and allowing yourself to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins.